We are going to turn to that passage that was read to us, Jonah chapter 3. We're coming to the conclusion of a series of sermons on this book, and I think there'll be one more. So Jonah chapter 3. Now, our starting point as we approach this book of Jonah has been the storms of life. Jonah's in a storm here in chapter 1, and we know all about storms in our personal lives. Often difficulties come, adversity comes, and corporately over the last couple of years, feels like the whole world has been through a great storm as COVID has raged and lingered over our lives. And so we've been looking at this book. Starting at that point, really, here's Jonah in the storm. Now, what was the storm there to do in his life? And what was his journey through the storm? And we've been trying to draw a parallel between Jonah and ourselves. And so, as we've asked the question, what is God saying in these storms? We've really pulled one answer out above all the others, that God's goal in bringing these storms into our lives is that he might awaken us and awaken us spiritually. So to put it another way, the storms of life that God brings upon us, they're all designed to bring us to faith. That's what God is striving to do in the life of Jonah. And we don't really know by the time you get to the end of the book, how successful that is. We see the sailors in chapter 1 who are in the storm with Jonah, and they do come to faith by the end of chapter 1. And then in chapter 3, where we're focused this morning, we've got the people of Nineveh, that great city of Nineveh, capital of the evil empire. Certainly, that's how they would have been seen by others. And we see that as Jonah eventually comes to them and brings the word of God to them, we see that they come to faith. So the great question coming out of this passage, out of this book to us then, as we think about the storms around us is, has it been leading you to faith? Have these storms, have they been moving you closer to God, or have they been driving you further away? Because one thing that's certain is none of us will stay the same. So the whole point, really, of this series has been to help us move in the direction that God wants us to move, to think through what is it we need to awaken to, and to come to that point where we are putting our trust, our faith in God, in Christ. Now, we're coming to the conclusion, and I want to pose a question. Try to be as practical as I can. Say someone now has been through all this and been thinking through all this and been following through all this, and their basic response is affirmation. Yes, I want this. Yes, I'm pursuing this. Yes, I want faith. I understand it. I see what you're saying. I see what God has done. I want this faith. I don't know if that's you, but I'm going to assume that it is. And the question I want to pose is, well, how do I know that I'm getting it? How do I know that I really have faith? Is just coming to church enough? Is that it? As long as I come to church, then clearly I've got faith. Or is something else supposed to be happening? Is something deeper supposed to be happening? How do I know if I've actually got the faith that God is seeking to give me? Now, I want to pose that question, and I'm going to answer that question by going to chapter 3 and looking at Nineveh and the experience of this great city. And so really what I'm suggesting is that we take Nineveh as a pattern, as a model, and we see what happens to them when they get faith. And so from that, we'll be able to conclude what would happen in our lives, what will be happening in our lives as we ourselves get faith. Now, I'm going to give you the overall answer right now in a sentence, and then we're going to look at the two parts of it. So what happens when someone comes to faith? How do you know if you got faith? First way you know is that your old self gets demolished. There's a work of demolition that goes on. And then the second thing that happens is there's a work of rebuilding that goes on. So what happens to Nineveh when they believe? Well, the old Nineveh gets demolished and a new Nineveh emerges. What will happen to me if I come to faith? Well, the old you will be demolished and a new self, a new you will emerge. And I'm saying to you, that's always what happens when somebody believes. And that just coming to church isn't it. Even just being affirming of what's coming from the front isn't it. Real faith will always bring a demolition work into our lives, and it will always bring a rebuilding work into our lives. Now, sometimes those things can be very distinct stages. Often, they are overlapping, and there's demolition and rebuilding going on at the same time. And sometimes the whole thing could be instantaneous. So I remember what we've said in previous weeks about the different ways that we journey towards faith and experience faith. But what we're interested in is to understand this work of demolition and this work of reconstruction. Now, that's a two-point sermon, isn't it? And if you've been here before, you'll know we're only going to do the first one. So let's set ourselves a more manageable objective and say we're going to go for the demolition today. And now hopefully it's not going to be completely negative. We're going to have to talk about the positive, the rebuilding at the same time. But then we'll finish off next week on a high, hopefully, with the newness, the reconstruction that God wants to work in your life. Okay, so two-point sermon spread over 2 weeks. Here's the first point. Let's think about this demolition work. I'm saying wherever there's real faith, there's demolition happening. An old life is being uprooted. An old righteousness is being destroyed. An old self is being crucified. So let's think about that. Now, we'll step back a bit and start slowly. Let's, first of all, think about the starting points. So here's somebody hearing all of this, wrestling with this, coming to believe all this. That starting point. Now, as we think about the starting point, let me put this out there. Before you come to faith, you have a quite a distinctive identity. Self is at the center. So before you come to faith, that's the way you are. Now, you're probably a very nice person, and lots of people like you, so you're not necessarily a selfish person, but inevitably, it's an absolute truth that before you come to Christ, before you come to faith, you are the center of your little world. Self is everything. And what you're doing in life, whether you recognize it or not, is making a sincere effort to get everything to orbit around you. You want everything to go your way. You want your will to be done. You want your agenda to be moved forward. It's about you and what you want and getting what you want, when you want it, how you want it. And that's what your agenda is. That's what your life's about. Let's get the world in orbit around me. So you want circumstances to go your way. You want them to be conforming to your will. You want the people around you to be going your way. You want them to be conforming to your will. You want God, if you believe in him at all, you want God to help you achieve what you want to achieve. He's a means to an end. That's the starting point for us all. You may be very nice, you may not be, but you may be very nice, but there's basically a self-focus. That's the agenda. That's what life is about. You are the center of your own little solar system and everything's supposed to orbit around you. And Nineveh here is a great picture of that. You know, when we're introduced to Nineveh in chapter 3, we are told that it is a very great city. It's an important place. You read the history books, you're told it's the capital of the world's first great empire. Now there it is. There's the picture, if you like, of us all. It's where we start. We want to be the capital of our own little empire. Now, depending how you're wired, you may want that empire to be very, very big, or you may be quite content for it to be very, very small. But nevertheless, you want to be the capital of your own little empire. You want to be a very important city, the center, the hub of the wheel. So that's us. That's the starting point for us all. Before we come to faith, self is at the center. We may be doing it very nicely. We may not be doing it so nicely, but we're just like Nineveh, the capital of a great empire. It's what we'd like to be. We're on the throne. That's just the way it is. But before we finish talking about the starting point, you know, where we all begin, our own little Ninevehs, I want to point out that that's actually quite problematic. It's not easy trying to be the center of your own little empire. It's not easy because actually it's not normal. We're not meant to be the center. We're not really equipped to be the center. That's not who we are. And when you do try to be the center, you find that it creates all sorts of problems. For a start, as you try to bring the world into orbit around you, one thing you find is that the world seems strangely reluctant. And circumstances seem rather uncooperative, and certainly other people seem rather uncooperative. And God, well, he doesn't seem to deliver at all. And we can't understand it. Our request, our agenda is perfectly reasonable to us. We just want things to go our way. We just want people to comply when we need them to do something. We just want God to look after us and sort everything out. It's perfectly reasonable. And yet we do find, don't we, that the world is not ready to cooperate. Certainly that's what Nineveh found. I don't know at what stage in its history Nineveh decided that it was going to expand its empire and that the world was going to have to fall in line with it. But they soon realized that if that was going to happen, then Nineveh was going to have to go to war. And so they became the world's first great military power. That was the only way they managed to achieve the world's first great empire. And it's the same for us, you know. If we want the world to fall into line with us, if we try to bring everything around us and into orbit around us, then we had better be ready to go to war, as we're going to find difficulties. So we have to become a warrior people, just like the Ninevites. And the Ninevites achieved what they wanted, but at a price. You know, Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian Empire, Nineveh was a monster. They terrorized the region, and there was a lot of blood on their hands. So, you know, have you found that yet? The world strangely uncooperative, strangely reluctant to fall into line with us? Do you find yourself hitting against problems and difficulties? Do you find yourself facing constantly problem people that won't comply, that won't fall into line, that have got a will of their own? And actually you find out what would rather you orbited them than they came into orbit around you. Well, of course you have. Another problem when you find, when you try to be the center of everything, is you discover that actually we as individuals, we're not really built for that kind of pressure. You know, as we try to arm wrestle circumstances and other people and God to comply with our will, to follow our agenda, to orbit around us, you find that you come under the influence of huge pressures, huge tensions, huge conflicts, and we're not really up for it. We're not really up to it. So our minds, can start to creak and feel the strain. Our emotions can go out of control as we get frustrated because we're not getting what we want. Our relationships can fracture and strain as we try to get people to do what we want them to do. Our very bodies may crack up and we lose our health. Our very souls may be lost. You know, because we're not really built for these pressures and to try and hold the weight of everything around us on our own shoulders, you know, we'll start to deform. Our very being will. Cracks will appear. We'll begin to disintegrate. Our lives will become unstable, liable to collapse. Now, all of that was just to set out the starting point. This is where we all are until we come to faith. We're trying to get the world to revolve around us, and that doesn't work very well because we're not really built for it. And so we end up getting crushed and deformed under the weight of our own desires and of our own aspirations. There's the first point then, the starting point. Now, second thing to talk about is the big idea. Now, the big idea I've already given you, it's that when you come to faith, there's some demolition that goes on. So now let's think about this big idea. First thing to talk about, really this is the big idea, and then I'll say it a few different ways. The big idea is that when we come to faith, we come to God, one of the ways we know we're coming to God is because this old self that's focused only on itself, it's demolished. There's a deep change within us. Now, this, of course, is what's being illustrated in Jonah chapter 3. So there's Nineveh, you know, the center of the universe, the center of its empire. And Jonah shows up. We know the story. We know he didn't really want to come. But God has dealt with him, and here he comes. And what's he come to do? Well, verse 2 of chapter 3 tells us he's come to proclaim the message that God has given him. Now, what's the message that God has given him? Well, it does seem like a very inadequate sermon, but it's there at the end of verse 4. It's only 5 words in Hebrew. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's the sermon that he preaches. Now, what would you expect to happen at that point? You've gone into the toughest neighborhoods that you know about, and you've started to threaten them. And you've told them in 40 days they're going to be destroyed. What would you expect to happen? Well, you'd expect to find Jonah beaten to death in some alley or hanging from some lamppost. You'd expect him to be lynched. Of course you would. Or you'd expect him to be simply ignored as a madman. You know, here's a crazy person. Let's just lock him up. Let's just ignore him. And there would be lots of reasons why you didn't need to listen to him or didn't need to take him seriously. You know, if your God is so great, how come we are the power, not you? You know, there'd be all sorts of things we could say to silence Jonah. But that's not what happens. And that's not what happens because it's not just Jonah that goes to Nineveh. It's very important to realize that. It's not just Jonah that goes to Nineveh. God goes to Nineveh. God is there. And so as Jonah speaks those words, he's bringing the message that God has given him. But the Spirit of God is in that word. The Spirit of God is with that word. And as Jonah preaches this message, he issues this warning, something astonishing happens. The people around him, they not just listen, they start to take it seriously, and they feel the force of what he's saying. They actually come to believe it, and the message spreads. It spreads from person to person, from house to house. It spreads up and down each of the different levels of that society. A warning from God that there's only 40 days before some catastrophic destruction, and the place is electrified. God is present. God is there in his word, and the words of the prophet are springing to life. They have a power that Jonah ordinarily would not have. They're the words of the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord is bringing to life those words in the lives of those who hear them. And then you get the impact of it in verse 5, verse we've already looked at. Nineveh believed God. But what I'm interested in is what is part of that believing, what happens because of that believing. So the second sentence in verse 5, a fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Now, don't get tangled up with the idea of a fast or worried about what they mean by putting on sackcloth. Those were just the cultural markers of the day. That was the way back then you expressed sorrow. You expressed grief. So they are doing what they did in their culture to express sorrow and express grief and express repentance. So we can strip away those cultural markers and we can ask, well, what are our cultural markers be? And we don't even need to worry too much about that. What's important is the thing itself. So what's happening? What is going on? Why are these people putting on the sackcloth, fasting? Why, as the message spreads, does the king himself do this? Why does he even say all the animals must be starved and clothed with sackcloth? What's going on? What's this faith doing? Well, isn't it obvious? This city is realizing, actually, we're not the center. That's what they're realizing. Actually, God is the center. Actually, the world doesn't revolve around us. Actually, the world revolves around him. And actually, we've been trying to make it revolve around us, and we've become a violent people, and we have exposed ourselves to his anger and to his judgment, and we are in danger. That's what they've realized. Now, that's the big idea. If you come to faith in Christ, you know you've come to faith in Christ because that old you that has self at the center, it changes. It's demolished. You suddenly realize, hang on, do you know what? My life, it's not about me. My little world, it's not about me. It's about God. I'd forgotten him. And the realization that God is bigger than us. And we're accountable to him. And if I've been living in his world without reference to him, then I'm in danger before him. And what's happening here really is the wonderful moment which comes to every single person who comes to faith. It's the wonderful moment when the city of Nineveh is saying, we can't go on like this. Have you ever been to that moment? I can't go on like this. I've been trying, I've been working, I've been pushing, I've been battling. Maybe I've had some success. Maybe I've got a great little empire going here. I'm having to maintain it at some cost. I'm creaking at the seams, but I'm doing a great job. My kingdom seems to be coming. My will seems to be done. Everything seems to be going my way. And then the word of the Lord comes to you and it shakes you and you begin to see him and you begin to see he's bigger than you and that this is not your world and it's not your little life. He has given it to you. The world belongs to him. And there is the sense of danger that comes to fruition in the realization, I just can't go on like this. It's a great moment. God is, if you've ever come to that moment, God is working in your life. God is doing miracles in your life. You have faith. You have the beginnings of faith at the very least. Let me put it another way. I'm watching the time. Let me put it another way. Easter's coming, right? Do you know this? So you know what happens at Easter? Or what we're remembering at Easter? We're remembering how Jesus died on the cross on Good Friday and how 3 days later, on Easter Sunday, he was raised from the dead. There's the Easter Sunday. Jesus was crucified on Good Friday and rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. The cross, the resurrection. So we know that story, right? We got that. We're happy. There's Easter. Now, have you ever noticed that the Bible talks about Easter in another way? It does talk about it, as I've just described, you know, historical events that happened 2,000 years ago to Jesus, in the life of Jesus. But it also talks about it at another level. The Bible talks about Easter happening to us when we believe. Have you ever noticed this? Have you ever picked it up? You'll find it in the book of Romans. You'll find it in the book of Galatians. You'll find it elsewhere. But listen to Paul as he writes in Romans chapter 6. This is verse 6. He says, our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Now, he's talking about the Easter story there, isn't he? The crucifixion, Good Friday. But look, he's not really talking about the crucifixion. He's talking about himself. He's talking about the moment he believed. And what he's telling these Romans is that we had our own personal Good Friday. The moment we believed, that old self, it was crucified with him. Why does that matter? Well, that means the old way of life was crucified with him. The old sins were crucified with him. It's been done away with. So now I'm no longer a slave to myself and a slave to my desires and a slave to my sins. Do you see? Isn't that an amazing thing? So Easter is what happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus was crucified and Jesus rose again. But you can have your own personal Easter. You can have your own personal Good Friday. And that's what's going on in Nineveh. And that's what Paul has said has happened to these Roman Christians. And I'm saying that's what happens to everybody when they come to faith in Christ. The old self, this self-centered, driven, sinful individual, that old you is crucified with Christ. Now, there's another side to it, of course. Not only do we get our own personal Good Friday, but we get our own personal Easter Sunday. Not only are we crucified with Christ, but we are raised with Christ. And you've got to have both. And you've got to understand the crucifixion of self and then the resurrection of a new self. That's a package deal. And just like the demolition work here, the Good Friday work, the demolition here, it leads to these people becoming new. So the Good Friday work in our own lives, the crucifixion of the self in our own lives, it becomes the resurrection, Easter Sunday work in our own lives too. See, we're talking this morning about demolition, but there's also the transformation. There's also the renewal. Okay, now, let me just recap so I know what we're talking about. We're talking about what happens when someone has faith. And we've said there's a work of demolition and a work of renewal. We're just talking about the work of demolition today. The starting point is that, you know, before we come to faith, we're self-focused, trying to bring everything into orbit around us, and that's a problem. But the big idea is that when we come to faith, what happens is we open up to the reality of God. And it's his word now, not ours. And his sovereignty, not ours. He's the one we should be in orbit around. And the effect of that is that we recognize that the way we've been living, we just can't carry on like that anymore. And we need to turn and we need to repent and we need to see that old self demolished. Okay. Third thing I want to say. We need to be specific about exactly what gets demolished. Only a few minutes. Because I can imagine an objection to what I've just been saying. And the objection is, I don't know, that sounds like a really bad thing. The self being crucified, how can that be good? You know, the demolition of the self, that sounds like a very bad thing. That sounds harmful. That sounds toxic. You can't say to these people that their old self has to die and be crucified. You can't say to these people they have to be demolished. Yeah, aren't we supposed to focus on ourselves? Isn't that the way to well-being and health and happiness? Aren't we supposed to find our deepest desires and empower them and be authentic and be true to ourselves? What are you saying? It seems to me like you're doing real damage to these poor people who've made the mistake of coming to listen to you this morning. Well, there's quite a powerful objection. We are here, let's make no mistake, swimming against the tide of our entire Western culture. So let's be clear. And let's be clear about what exactly gets demolished. The only thing being destroyed here in Nineveh is the sin that is already destroying Nineveh. Do you get it? Nineveh itself is not being destroyed. It's the sin that has turned Nineveh into a monster that is going to bring destruction upon Nineveh that is going to be destroyed. It's the sin that shouldn't be there, that's got no rights, the sin that is damaging these people. That is what is crucified. That is what is demolished. So the only thing we're talking about demolishing is the very thing that is killing you. The very thing that is killing you. So faith, as we're talking about it here, the demolition that faith brings, is not about you being damaged as a person. It's about you being redeemed as a person. It's about you escaping from that which is damaging you. And so faith is about breaking free of what has held us captive. Faith is about breaking free of what is damaging us. Faith is about becoming what you were meant to be. It's about finding your potential. It's about finding your true self. It's like in The Lord of the Rings, when the king of Rohan, whose name I can't remember, is under the spell of some terrible wizard. And he's aged and bent down and crushed and controlled by some outside power. And then Gandalf comes and he sets him free from all of that. And there's a moment in the book and in the film where you see this king shaking off what has happened to him. Now he's not shaking off the old, the true self. He's shaking off the old self. And you see him get younger before your very eyes and grow in stature, and he combs his hair and becomes the king again. Now that's what we're talking about. The Bible says we're under a spell. Sin is a spell that turns us in upon ourselves, and it binds us with chains and it drags us down. And the gospel comes and it says, be free from that. Jesus the Christ sets you free. He has died for those sins. He has the power to make you new. And so when the Bible says repent, it's not talking about doing damage to yourself. It's talking about taking off that spell, taking off the chains. It's talking about taking a step forward, becoming who you really are, who you were made to be, everything you can be, everything you could be. So it's not the destruction of the self, it's the recovery of the self. And so when you look at chapter 3 and you see the city of Nineveh that has wreaked terror across the region, and you see the city of Nineveh repenting and trembling and abandoning the wickedness that it has been soaked in, are you really going to tell them, hang on, no, that's not healthy? You must be true to yourself. You've got to be authentic. You know, let your feelings out. Go and conquer another few countries. Go and slaughter another few people. No, we don't say that. We say that's wonderful. It's wonderful. And that's what we've got here. Something wonderful happens when someone comes to faith. The old you that's proud and arrogant and self-sufficient and driven by desires and those old patterns of behavior and those old addictions and those old identities, they are dismantled. The chains are peeled off. And you know what it's like? It's like being born again. The here, the old, brutal, sinful destruction Nineveh is being demolished. That sinful past is being demolished. And do you know what? Nineveh really is being overthrown. And we all need the same. We need the old, sinful, destructive, brutal me to be demolished. And so do you. And we need the old desires and the old patterns and the old addictions to be dismantled. And every single one of us needs to be born again. And let me finish just by saying, you can be. You can be. If you are willing to come empty-handed to Jesus Christ now and put your trust in Jesus Christ now, this work, it begins. This work begins. You haven't got to be good enough. You haven't got to be strong enough. In fact, you have to be weak enough and you have to be bad enough to come. You have to see it. You have to be willing. But if you'll come, you will find that all of his resources, all of his power, all that he has accomplished is absolutely available to you. And you will find the Spirit of God working in your life. In fact, if you're on the brink of coming, if you're ready to start to pray to him and really open up to him, if you're ready to start saying to him, Lord, I want to be like Nineveh. I want the demolition work. If you're talking like that, I tell you this, the Spirit of God is already at work within you. Already. So don't resist him. Open up to him. Let him do his job because it's magnificent. It's magnificent. Let him dismantle. Don't you want to be rid of the old you? Don't you want that old person gone? Don't you want to begin again? Well, this is what it's about. Right, we've got to stop. So let's pray together and we'll sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us. This is too much for us. We can never accept this unless you open us up. And so we pray for the supernatural work of your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, for this generation within the building, outside the building. Lord, may there be a glorious opening up to reality, Lord. Open our eyes to ourselves and to your grace and to the Lord Jesus Christ. And bring us, Lord, to him. We ask it and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.